This audio recording is a ministry of the Church of the Incarnation, a parish of the Personal Ordinariate of the Chair of St. Peter in the Catholic Church. We thank you for listening, and we invite you to visit us either in person in Orlando, Florida, or on the web at www.ordinariate.org.
The following sermon was preached on Monday, November 1, 2021. The Solemnity of All Saints, by Father William Doc Holliday.
Rejoice and be glad, for your reward is great in heaven.
May the words of my mouth, the meditations of all of our hearts, be acceptable in thy sight, O Lord, our strength and our Redeemer. In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Ghost.
Amen.
This is a day that is very near and dear to my heart, as it should be for all. I am quite happy to see so many people here today, because I know there were people here both at 7 a.m. this morning and noon. This is a good thing, because we are being attentive to those in the communion of the saints. And on this day, we usually hear about the communion of the saints and how we're part of it. That's all well and good. It is all true. We also hear about what the saints do for us. We love to hear about what others do for us. What we're going to talk about tonight, I want to focus our attention is what they have done already. What they have done, not for us, but for our Lord Jesus Christ. This is why they are exalted in heaven. The Roman Breviary says on the Matins for this morning, it said, in their society, heaven exalts. In their protection, earth rejoices. In their triumphs, the Holy Church is crowned. It is that last thing. In their triumphs, the Holy Church is crowned. We are crowned for what they have done for us. When this feast day was first instituted, way, way back when, Pope Boniface IV, it was actually the feast of our Blessed Virgin Mary and the Martyrs. Okay, it wasn't All Saints. It was Blessed Virgin Mary and the Martyrs. Because the martyrs have ever had such a tremendous impact on the evangel, the spread of the gospel, the advance of the kingdom of Christ in this world, and the Blessed Virgin Mother is their queen. But then, several hundred years later, because it was celebrated in different parts of the church, in different parts of the world, sort of in a variety of ways, and someone stepped in and said, we need to fix this. And we receive now these, and they change it to All Saints, which is a good thing. Because when we look at All Saints, how I always point out, it's All Saints. It's sort of the saints we never know, the saints that for whom we don't know their names. They don't have feast days and this such. But at the end of the day, we have to understand that even when it comes to these, even if you're not a martyr, to be a confessor for our Lord Jesus Christ, all saints are either martyrs or confessors of our Lord. To be a confessor, you are sacrificing. You are enduring martyrdoms. There are a lot of people who didn't shed their blood for our Lord Jesus Christ, but spent their whole life being persecuted, being rejected by their family, by their friends, because of how much they were rigid, they were unbending, they were fanatics for our Lord. These are the saints that we honor tonight and we venerate. But again, it's because of what they have done. Every Mass we hear after the memento of the living, that first list of saints that we hear in every Mass, it says in part a petition that we offer to the Lord, grant that by their merits and prayers, we may in all things be defended with the help of thy protection. Notice the order of things. It just doesn't say, grant that by their prayers, we get this. The first thing that's mentioned is their merits. Their merits, what they did for our Lord. And whether, again, be confessor who didn't shed blood, but was still, you can't be a confessor that's a saint without having sacrificed tremendously for the Lord. But the martyrs in particular, we look at this is where we gain the protection, because and notice it doesn't say, grant that by their merits and prayers we may be in all things defended by their protection. Whose protection? Thy protection. God's. What's that?
because God recognizes through their intercession, he will answer them because they have done what he desired of them. They have done what they needed to do to advance his kingdom, even to the shedding of their blood. This is why I always point out at Mass, God answers our prayers more efficaciously than if we're praying in our car or at our bedside, because at the Holy Mass, he's not looking at you. He's looking at his son hanging on the cross. He's looking at his son's wounds as he stands in heaven with him. He still bears those wounds. Why? They're badges of honor. Same thing goes with the saints. They have merited for us God to answer their prayers. We haven't. We haven't merited God to answer. We don't merit that God hears us because most of us haven't really proven anything. This is the reality of things. It is about what they have done. This really, it bothers me. I have heard priests complain about the Roman canon. Oh, the Roman canon, those lists of saints. If you look at it like a list of names, it is tremendously problematic of where your head is when it comes. It's not a list of names. It's a remembrance of people, individuals. And maybe it's near and dear to my heart because we unfortunately are not presented with the stories anymore, particularly clerics. When clerics used to use the Roman breviary, every single day when it was a saint's day, a martyr, a confessor, you read about their life. You read about what happened to them. And when you read that every day, it starts to resonate. But I mean, with me and what I used to do for a living, I have seen more than my share of people that were victims of trauma. When, you know, most of us, praise God, somebody's in the hospital. You go to the hospital and you say, and they're sedated. The vast majority of times. I mean, there's people who, little kids fall down and things like that. I'm talking about vicious trauma. And I don't get any details. But to be standing with a person who's suffering that, and there are no doctors around. There are not even any firemen around yet. You're a cop, and you get there, and they're laying there screaming. Time and time again, I see. So it resonates with me, the reality of what human beings can suffer. This is really kind of tugs at me. And when I see and hear of clerics thinking about these people who endured these things for our Lord Jesus Christ, and to mention them as if they're a list of saints, we live in this day of mitigation. Oh, let's cut this out. Let's not make this a holy day of obligation. Let's, you know, because it's inconvenient or it helps. That's part of it. Little martyrdoms like that, inconvenience, obligations. Oh, it's obligatory. It's on Tuesday, but not on Monday. Oh, God forbid we would go to church 2 days in a row. Oh, my goodness. How trying is that? Ask them. Ask them how trying it is. And even when the Roman canon is said in the new Roman Missal, you can use the first three names and you don't have to say the rest of them. Let's mitigate that. You hardly ever hear the Roman canon in most places. Why? Because it's long. Why? Because there's lists of names in there too. Even when it's said, and I'll point the finger in the Ordinaria and in the traditional Latin Mass, when priests hit that part, Peter, Paul, James, John, they so fast, they blow through those names. Man, you would not do that if you honored those men and women for what they did. In that list of saints, I was actually going to go through the Roman martyrology and pick out like these really ghastly. I was like, no, there's probably going to be kids there. I don't want to get too much into that stuff. The things that they did, I mean, everybody's familiar with the burning to death and the crucifixions and the beheadings and things like that. It wasn't limited to that. It wasn't limited to that. The first list that we have, the memento of the living, Bartholomew. Yeah, we don't know a whole lot about Bartholomew. The man was flayed alive. Most people don't even know what that word flayed means. They skinned the man while he was alive. Everybody thinks about, you know, back in the Old West when people used to get scalped, how horrible that was. Flayed all of your skin, flayed alive. And then they cut his head off after he got to enjoy that part. St. Lawrence, roasted on a gridiron. And when's the last time you touched a hot pot? How quick you got your hand off of it. How quick you ran to get some ice and put on it. And then sat there and whined about how bad it hurt for the next 20 minutes. And it does hurt bad. A gridiron. They put the man in a gridiron and put him and slow roasted him over a fire. He did it for Christ. The second list we get, St. Stephen stoned to death. I was sitting at a tent one time and another Marine sailed a rock across the tent. It hit me in the mouth. Oh my gosh. And it was a little rock. And it hurt bad. I still got a scar. Cool scars. Stoned to death? That hurt, man. I was in a rage. What would it be like to be stoned to death? Hit with so many stones, you die. St. Perpetua and Felicitas. St. Felicitas and Perpetua. Those two. Women. Young women. Perpetua was 22 years old. She's a noble woman. She had just given birth. Her child was just a couple months old. Felicitas was pregnant. It was illegal to kill a pregnant woman. So they left her in the dungeon until she had the baby. And then they brought her out. They brought him out, and they lined him up, and they scourged them in front of everybody. And then they sicked animals on them. And after they were torn up by the animals, then they had gladiators come in. New gladiators, novice gladiators. Because what's a gladiator do? They kill people, so you got to practice, right? Can't go to the games and not know how to kill anybody like that. St. Perpetua actually looked at the gladiator, who was kind of nervous that he was going to kill her, get a sword. He said, I want it to hurt. That flustered it even more, so he wanted to get it over with. And he thrust a sword in there and it went through her bones, as opposed to going up and under the bones. When she shrieked, that made him even freak out a little bit more. So he started wiggling his sword around to try to get her to die. And she shrieked the whole time he was doing it. She asked for that. That's the list that we have of people that endure in the Mass. We shouldn't honor them. We should blow through their names or omit their names because of what they have done for us. This is why our Lord answers their prayers. And that we ask them to offer those prayers up, which they do every single day. The clerics don't read about that anymore because they don't have to use the Roman breviary. Part of the Roman breviary is every morning during one of your hours, which they have suppressed this hour or prime, you have to read the Roman martyrology for the day, where you get a whole other list, a couple pages sometimes, of saints who were killed on that day. Just today, this very day, in the Roman martyrology, Saint Caesarius and Julian. Who's that? Well, it doesn't matter who it is. They scourged them. And then they beat them with rods, and then they put them in a sack and threw them in the sea. St. Benignus, wouldn't it be enough just to, run a spear through that guy, cut his head off? No, beat his neck with a rod, and then cut his head off. This kind of stuff. St. Mary the Handmaid, she was scourged, then she was put on the rack, stretched until all her joints were dislocated. And then she died when they took hooks and ran them in her and pulled them out. These are the things that these people endured for our Lord Jesus Christ. And this is why he answers their prayers more efficaciously than he does yours. This is why we ask them to offer the prayers, just like we do our Savior. Because this is what they did. This is who we... And there were... I'm naming names. There are people that endured this kind of stuff that we don't know their names. We don't know their story. We don't know anything about them. This is who we come to. And to say, oh, you're not obliged to go because it's on a Monday and you might have to go to church 2 days in a row. That's sickening. That is absolutely sickening. That we would ignore these men and women after what they've done. The breviary closes today's matins, the writings of St. Bede. The church is taught by Jesus Christ, her head, to fear neither insults nor crosses or death, that they may be inspired to fight the good fight with no less ardent courage than these who have gone before, the saints. This is why the church acts so emasculated in our day. This is why the church is weak and milquetoast in our day. It's because we don't know about what people have done, what our Lord expects of people. If these people did this, you know, this is why I really got to grip my teeth when people complain about, oh, I don't want to confront my kids with their sin, or I don't want to talk to Aunt Jo about this, that, or the other thing. No. You need to confront. Well, I don't want to offend anybody. These people didn't want to die the way they did, but they did for our Lord's sake. So to compare, I don't want to do that, or sin. I can't stop looking at that. I can't stop doing this or that. You can't. No, you won't, because you're weak. You're weak because you're the vast majority of Catholics aren't given any examples of truly what went on with these folks. And like I said, in the Roman martyrology, there is stuff I would not share tonight. I would not share. Even if there were kids in there. It's that ghastly. That's the reality of what these folks did. We need to honor them. So, some people have mentioned it before. They take a lot of time in the list of Yeah, I do. I wish I could take more time for that. Because, you are supposed to be thinking about the reality of what they did. And the reality of what they did is the reality of what is the result of that is what they can do for us now. In the name of the Father, and the Son, and of the Holy Ghost.